Call to order, regular meeting for the South San Francisco County Sanitation District for Wednesday, August 17th. Roll call, please.
Director Lucy.
Here.
Director Hill.
Here.
Chairman Schultz.
Here. Thank you, Gearhart. Please stand with us for the Pledge of Allegiance and follow me.
Place your hand to your heart. Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to move on to agenda review. Do any board members want to change the order of the agenda? Or if not, I'll accept a motion to proceed as presented by staff.
So moved.
Second.
There's a motion, there's a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion carries. Okay. So we are going to go forward with the agenda as printed. And I don't know if there's extra copies of the agenda on the table, Garrett, or not, but we'll move forward. Public comment. Do any members of the community want to address the board for a period not to exceed 3 minutes on anything within the jurisdiction of this council? Please come forward and state your name for the record.
My name is Stella Lopez. I'm a resident here in Oceano since 1961. I have been billed from your sanitation. First letter was that I was past due, that I was in the arrears for January of 16th of this year through June. And there was an amount of $89.16 that was due. And after that, that was like for 6 months, it was going to go over into my property taxes. Mm-hmm. My comment is, I've been paying. I live in this resident at 1551 and a half past Roba Street. And there's a house in the rear, which would be facing 16th Street, a short street that's there. Last year, I have all my bills from last year. I always keep receipts. And then you were charging me as it is every other month, $49.21 every other month. Okay? Then it came to, the year of this year in December, I believe, that then they changed it. And they started charging me $19.49. Okay. I know you had someone that you had elected on your board from last year, I believe, a gentleman that was running. He heard my comments about talking to somebody else about, that's my residence, but I don't live there. I live with my sister because I'm a caregiver. Okay. So there's no sanitation. I don't have water running there or anything. Okay. And I felt that why should I have to pay If there's no water running or anything. And he waited later on and kind of made a comment, well, don't you think you should pay something? Wouldn't you pay something for what if there's not being usage? Yeah. And he says, well, how about the sanitation? Well, if there's not going anything, I'm not referring to my other residents that are surrounding me, but I'm referring to my own self. He goes, well, it would only be fair. Fair to who? And I say, well, I don't mind paying a little if I had to. Well, then that's when they, I don't know if he came on the board, then he was dismissed, whatever it is, but I see new faces. I haven't been here that long. Then that's when they attached it, the $29. So that was continuing until, like I say, January of this year. Then it was 19. Then all of a sudden I get this letter that I'm in the rears, past due, and that if I didn't pay it, this was only going to cover me for these many months. So I send a check. So the lady at the office, your receptionist in this office, I made a comment, what was I doing? She goes, oh, it's because some of the people in Oceano don't want to pay for it, for the sanitation. Oh, really? Well, that's easy. Just close her water. And she kind of giggled about it. You know, I know she was referring to myself when she looked up my thing because I had made a comment, you know, before when I gone to pay my bill. So anyway, I send the check with it. My purse was stolen and the receipt that I had there. They sent me another letter with a yellow envelope. The check and the envelope that I had sent it in came back unopened. They said that it was passed, that I didn't come to the date. It was one day late or something. I go, what's wrong with these people? I mean, even if you're a date late, 5 days, there's always a thing. This first letter said that I was in the dues. I didn't get into July, and then they're saying that I was past due since January, and I sent it on the 8th of July, but they're referring from January the 18th of 16, March and May, okay? I send that check. They refused to accept it. They didn't even open the envelope, okay? Then I get another letter. From the people again, stating now they're sending me a different amount. Now they're saying that I owe $79. What did I do with it? Oh, here it is. This is for September the 2nd. This one is due. This one says I owe $79.30. And in the statement, it says that they're charging me for January of this year through March, March to May, from May to June. But in May and June, they're charging me $14.86. My question is, who's your bookkeeper? And you need to clarify. I don't see in the amendments or anything, the property taxes have to do just with property. It has nothing to do with anything else, sanitation, water, electricity, gas. I mean, then everybody would just incentive would put it on you. So if I was to sell my property, I have to let the new owners. You know what? There's going to be a tax in there.
So Ms. Lopez, thank you for those. And does Gerhard? Do you have her? Can you get her information and follow up with her to answer her questions?
Give me your phone number. I'll be happy to talk to her.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for your comments.
And Stella, you're home during the day, correct?
Pardon?
You're home during the day, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm a busy. I'm having problems with my hearing, so that's
okay. Why. So Mr. Gerhardt's going to get your phone number.
He could get me because I attend. But I have a cell phone. He could leave me that message there.
Okay. Great.
Thank you.
Make sure he has your information. Thank you. Is there anyone else?
Beatrice Spencer, I was just wondering if there are any agendas available.
You know, I have to apologize. Amy has been out this week, and we didn't bring any extra.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
If you'd like, you can have this one.
That's a good idea.
No, I have it.
Okay, thank you, Mary. Was there anyone else that wanted to speak during public comment?
Yes, Ron Holt, Arroyo Grande. I just wanted to say I think that everybody owes a big thank you for the final. We didn't have a chance to say so at the last meeting, but for the final resolution of the lawsuit with the state. And thank you to all of you, the board. Wish it'd come a year earlier, but it's better late than never, and we do appreciate that. That's out of the way now. Second thing is, this is something that's been brought up before, and I know it's a complicated thing, but it would be nice to see a couple extra board members on the board so that we don't run into this problem that we seem to run into every year of not having enough people for a quorum or other situations or having to cancel a meeting for that reason. And I know there's lots of complexities in that, but it's something I think we should work towards. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Holt.
I do have a comment. Oh, sorry. First of all, I just wanted to say, since we're so close to a fire station here, thank you to the firefighters who are working tirelessly to keep the whole state from practically burning down. It feels like I watch the news every night, and those guys are doing an amazing job, so thank you to them. Secondly, I wanted to just let your board know that I received a call from Mr. Greg Davidson from NBS on Monday. He's the gentleman who was taking care of getting things ready for the tax roll for Oceano. And I had had a question for him earlier about this property at 137 South Halcyon in Arroyo Grande that had a delinquent charge of $3,120 and anything didn't have a correct assessor's parcel number. It was just denoted with a number one. He told me, was nice enough to call me back on Monday to let me know that that in fact is a property management office for an entire mobile home park. Hmm. And so now they have gone through and actually gotten the correct names and addresses of the people in that mobile home park. I was told earlier that it had something to do with the sale of water to someone the sale of Oceano water to someone in Arroyo Grande. And in fact, it wasn't that at all. It's just a property management address. But I thought it was very nice that he was kind enough to get back to me and answer that question, because it had been lingering for all those weeks since he had made his presentation. So in spite of the fact that I know this isn't popular to have this on the tax rolls, it actually is doing a lot of housekeeping. He said there were several things that just didn't come across correctly, and that happens over time. So every once in a while, it is kind of nice to go through and get things straightened up again, and this is what's happened. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Spencer. Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me close public comment and bring it back to the board. Let's move on to item number 5. This is our consent agenda. This is where we take routine items as a group. There are 3 items on consent tonight. Do any members of the board want to pull any items from consent?
The minutes.
Okay, the minutes from which meeting?
Both minutes.
Okay. You have comments or you have changes in this, Jim?
I think I have comments.
Okay.
We might be able to resolve those. And my comment basically is that I think we've mentioned that there's no, there's not even a brief discussion of public comment and what was said, whether the person spoke in favor or opposed to any particular item. But even more concerning to me is that the vote is not fully recorded. In other words, it just says motion carries and doesn't state whether it carried unanimously or what the vote was. And I think we...
Good point.
We need to record what the vote was and who voted in favor or opposed.
Okay. That's from the immediate minutes from July 20th, correct?
That's correct. The draft of July 20th. And then the draft of August 3rd is the same. It says who made the motion and who seconded, but it doesn't record the vote.
Yep.
So I can't accept those.
Okay. Those do need to reflect the vote accordingly. You are correct. So I don't think that's something we can fix tonight. That's probably something that...
certainly we want to confer with Amy about the vote. And I guess the comment about the commenters, we had taken the direction from the last one. Microphone is on. We took the direction from the last board meeting and added more detail on the August 3rd, so that's what you see. We didn't go back to the July 20th, so that's why you don't see that.
Okay.
But certainly
okay.
The roll call, we can go back and record that for the minutes.
Okay, so then let's do that. So I think we actually then need to take action on item 5C, and we'll defer those the minutes from July 20th and August 3rd to the next meeting with the appropriate changes or recording the vote appropriately. Okay? Anything else?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's that on that one.
Okay. Mary, anything?
No.
Okay. Do any members of the public want to address any items on consent? Okay, seeing no one come forward, looks like we only have the warrants before us. Any additional discussion? Anyone prepared to make a motion on this item?
Because the board only sees these warrants, I guess we can look for a more of an itemized item, like capital equipment. An example is one integrated process tech, which I imagine would be integrated process technology. Capital equipment in the amount of, looks like $13,000. I'm just wondering what the, you know, if we could get a bit more detail on that.
Okay. I can provide that.
Okay.
I thought because of the dollar amount. So that is, they were MX series electric activators. John will be able to perhaps illuminate a little bit more on that. But it's related to our grit removal system. Okay. And one of the valves that the board approved, and we moved forward with it, so that's the invoice for that.
Okay,
thank you.
All right. So with that clarification, is someone prepared to make a motion on the warrants?
I move that we accept the warrants.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Let's do roll call.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Chairman Schultz?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Very good. And then we'll look for those minutes to come back on the next agenda. Very good. Let's move on to item number 6. This is the District Administrator and Plant Superintendent's Report. Mr. Huebner.
Thank you, Chair Schultz. As you have the written report in front of you, I'll highlight a few highlights or updates since our last meeting back on August 3rd. So as I've highlighted or mentioned before, you know, we have a number of projects that are undergoing various stages, either design or environmental review. Our Cherry Avenue Bridge is moving forward with its mitigated NEG deck or MND. We hope to bring that after the close of the comment period this Friday your September 7th board meeting. Our grit removal project construction is proceeding quite well now. We're working on a valve realignment. We have already gotten some pieces of the equipment have arrived and are ready to be installed, of course, once the foundation is in place. Our mechanical bar screen project, we did receive bids. That closed. We do anticipate bringing a recommendation to you at your September 7th meeting as well to move that big major capital project forward as well. Regarding our redundancy project, I've attached for your review as well as the public the our response letter to the Coastal Commission's April 15th response, which was in their reply to our CDP application that we submitted in March. We also have completed a number of studies, including sea level rise analysis, flooding, as well as biological assessment. Those attachments, as well as some site photos and a site plan, were also submitted to the Coastal Commission, and they have all of that now under their review. Moving on, I want to mention a little bit on the PG&E cogen unit project. We did receive an invitation this week to visit a similar project, the city of San Luis Obispo. I believe that's going to occur August 30th. I know John will be going at the very least. I hope to accompany him. Want to mention accomplishment here, our GIS manhole mapping system. That project is now complete with the last of the software training also complete. So kudos to staff for getting that effort done, as well as our consultant, MKN. We continue to work on our bathroom, making some progress, so we hope to have, John smiling, we do hope to have that done soon. Moving on to our regional efforts, we did have a county flood control advisory committee meeting. John attended as our rep this week, and I've listed some of the topics that were on the agenda, including channel maintenance, their annual budget, as well as their waterway management programs projects. Moving on, I want to mention water reuse. They have sent an invitation to staff as well as the elected officials, so it includes the board, to come and visit the Monterey Regional Water Pollution Control Pure Water Demonstration Facility. And that tour is scheduled for September 14th. So if any of the board members would like to attend, I'll forward the directions and that invitation to them.
That's in Monterey, correct?
Correct. Just the last few things, we've initiated work on our website. We had a little bit of forensics to do to reacquire our domain name. It was under Wallace, goes that far back. So it did take a little bit of effort, but we have reacquired our domain. And so work on our website is now proceeding. We're also working on a newsletter. The last one, as you're probably aware, was 2013. I also, along with staff, provided a tour for the new city manor of Grover Beach. That was conducted yesterday. Very positive. And I look forward to working with Matt. And then finally, I just want to mention, we did have an employee recognition barbecue on Saturday, August 6th. The chair was able to attend. I very much appreciate him taking time to meet and greet with not only my family, but the employees and others. So with that, concludes my report. John, you want to mention a few things?
Yes. Okay, so during this reporting period, we continue to meet our regulatory standards. We did, however, on I think August 2nd test results, we spiked in suspended solids, BLD, and our fecals were higher than normal for that one reporting period. That was after we received a strange substance in the water. It was a red color substance, lasted about an hour. Took a sample. We sampled in our lab for pH and conductivity. We didn't sample for anything else. So it's about the fourth time it's happened since I've been here, the 3 years I've been here. It's never really had an impact, but we'll try to make sure next time we see it, we grab a sample and send it through for a complete comprehensive test to see what might be in that substance. It's interesting that someone could dump something that could stay in our water system for an hour. But we'll try to track that down as part of our pretreatment program. Also, we had a power outage that occurred the night before we got the high readings. And as a result of that power outage, our pumps at our fixed film reactor were out of commission for probably an hour. They went out. They didn't have an automatic reset. And so I happened to be on duty that night. So I came in and I walked the plant. And by the time I got to them, when I got there, the power outage had already happened, so they were out. So I started, you usually start from the front when you have a power outage, and you check all your equipment from front to back. And before I could get to the back, of course, it reset. The power came back on. The generator went off. We had another reset, so I had to go back to the front of the plant because we had another power exchange. And so by the time I got to the back end, it was probably 45 minutes after I got the initial call. So our pumps were down for that long. And I'm getting to a point, so bear with me. So it demonstrated how important it is for us to have a backup. In a matter of 45 minutes to an hour, our pumps were down, and the result was extremely high readings that if they continued over a two-week time frame, it would be an automatic violation maybe in three different areas. And so that FFR being down for just a short time had an immediate and severe impact on the water quality. So again, it's one more reason to continue to work towards redundancy, and one more reason that our staff has continued to work in our short-term redundancy, which is almost complete. The staff is, our short-term redundancy project is a simple pump in the PVC pipe going up to the top with some flexible hosing that would keep the media wet and the processed water flowing over there. And our team has gotten it in. They began to test the apparatus. In the next 2 weeks, we should have a complete temporary backup system in place. I meant to get, they actually sent me videos of the testing process. I was hoping to bring those tonight, but I wasn't able to. Anyway, after the high reading on August 2nd, all our readings have been, we received three more readings since then, and all of them have been normal. We're, what you see on my chart today, we're actually lower than that at this point. Those numbers were high, where you see the 42 for BOD effluent and the 40 for suspended solids. Those numbers are lower now. They're within our monthly requirements. And we did not, I want to emphasize, we did not have any violations as a result of this event. I did, however, call and talk to our representative about it and let her know we had a short-term bypass due to a power outage. She's fine with it. She just said, you know, those are one of those things that happens. So, anyway, we were testing once again, and the plant seemed to hold up over the test, and looks like we're going to make it through without violating anything.
Okay.
In the matter of operations and maintenance, just a little further update on the bathroom. It was, those pipes were encased in concrete, so it was a lot trickier than what you would think or what you would have at your home, you know, having these one-inch pipes that somebody has to try to break through with a jackhammer and not damage the piping. So anyway, we've gotten through all that. They've replaced the piping. The floor is finished now, so we're at the point now where we'll be putting in our newest floor and all the components, and we expect to be done and complete with a complete bathroom in the next week. So the worst part's over now. It's just a matter of cleaning up and placing the pieces in that we need. We also reassembled a three-way Zurich valve for our sludge beds, removed and reinstalled irrigation well pump. As mentioned earlier, we implemented our GIS program. We'll be able to track and monitor our manholes and our piping that we're responsible for. We troubleshot a fluid leak on our front loader, our tractor. We restored network communications for our DS2 gas monitor docking station. Those are little gas monitors that operators clip on their sides when they're going to go into different parts of the plant that may be hazardous, so they can monitor oxygen content and hazardous gases. And we performed hydraulic flush on the trickling filter, drained and cleaned the chlorine contact chamber, completed installation of a control wiring for our ferric pump system, installed HMI at the MCC, cleaned and inspected digester number 2 pressure valve, marked underground service alerts. That sounds familiar. Staff received a safety training on the recognition and treatment of heat-related illness and injuries. Kind of appropriate in the latest heat. Outside of our area, it's pretty hot in a lot of areas. And, of course, on the call-out was on July 31st. In the upper section of on my report, it says July 1st, but it's actually July 31st. We had to count the power outage and... I already explained what happened and what we went through. With that, I think that concludes my portion of the report. I'd be more than happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for that clarification, John. I was going to ask you that question. So it was July 31st?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Any questions of district administrator or the plant superintendent? No? Mary?
And I do have a few questions. The valve that we purchased, I guess, a couple meetings ago, was that valve, where did that valve get put?
The valve that's on tonight's the $12,000 valve?
Is that one? Yes.
That one will go into, that comes from the secondary clarifier. So we have a situation where at night, we pump a lot of water from our secondary clarifier. Secondary clarifier is the second half of our process where the water is pretty clean. And so at night, we get down to a flow that's really too low for the equipment we have. We have to augment the flow at night to be able to feed our trickling filter enough fluid to keep it wet and enough food to keep the bugs happy. And so what we do at night is we turn on a pump and we pump water from the secondary back to our splitter box, which keeps that water in the system, keeps enough water flowing throughout the system to keep the system happy.
So in turn, we're hoping to bring down all the bad bugs and all that with that new valve, correct?
We will bring that around, and where we're pumping that now is to the splitter box, and that goes directly back to our, and that would be after our grit removal system. So in order that we be able to, those bad bugs that come down, the bug larvae and all that, that'll be removed in the grit removal system. But if we continued in the same manner as we do now, it would never go through the grit removal system because it would be returned right back to the clarifier. So this valve will allow us at night to allow the water from the secondary, which has a lot of the bugs that have washed off of the fixed film reactor, that'll go back to the headworks, and then from the headworks it'll be pumped up through the grit removal system. So a lot of that fly larvae will be removed. And that valve allows us, because we can do it hydraulically, right now we're pumping, and that valve allows us to do it hydraulically, which means we save a lot of energy. We'll just open the valve, the water will flow downhill into our headworks, and then go back up to our grit removal system.
Okay, great. Thank you for that explanation. Secondly is, do you know why the power went out?
No, I didn't. I didn't make contact with PG&E on that.
What, was the whole island out? Because
I
don't think so.
I don't know. You know, it's interesting because where we used to get power from the front, from the island side of the plant, that was problematic for our plant. The power was kind of irregular. And so now we receive our power coming in the back end of the plant, back where our centrifuge is. And so I don't think we have the same... I don't think our power comes from the same source as where the island does, unless that fails for us, and then they'll start feeding us from the island into the plant. So it's possible that we could lose power on the island, not because, again, we're taking our power off the back end of the plant.
The reason why I ask you this, right, is that in the 2000 flood, part of it was the power had gone down,
yes.
You know, and so I don't want to get in that situation again with the power going down. So I think it would be a value if we knew from PG&E, and also, too, is that we'd spend an exorbitant amount of money on electrical work to ensure that the power didn't go down internally. And so it might be a value to know, was it a PG&E thing? Was it an internal thing? What the cause of it was?
No, it was PG&E. It was power supply. We don't really lose power at the plant. There's an instant that the power goes out, and there's a period of time, maybe 30 seconds, before our emergency generator comes on.
Yeah, I was going to say you have generator.
And during that time, you know, you would hope all your equipment comes back on, but it doesn't all the time. Sometimes what goes off stays off until we come in and reset it. And so okay. It wasn't so much that we didn't have power. It's when it's restored, all equipment doesn't come back on. So,
okay.
Or all the time.
Two more questions, and then
yes.
I'm done. How many manholes do we have?
In our, I can't
in
ask.
In your jurisdiction.
I'd have to get back with you on that.
A guesstimate. 30, 40, 10?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Let's say 50.
Okay, great.
Don't hold me to that, though.
That gives me a range, okay. And that's all I'm asking for.
Okay.
And then now we have to talk about the hard one.
Okay.
We have to talk about the numbers, because although you stated that, you know, that it's a rare occasion, right, but it seems like it's not so rare as much, and the thing that we keep hanging our hat on is, oh, but it didn't happen within this time period, so we didn't get three, you know, high readings in this time period, so we're okay, and it's not okay. It's more than just a time period, a range of having three violations in that period. It's about public safety and public health. You know, all our families and friends are down on that beach, and so it's of utmost importance that we figure out why do we. And I don't think it's certainly not. It's a systematic issue. you know, and you have a lot of foreign substance going through your plant. So I take all that into consideration. But we have to figure out why these numbers are doing this. And I know that you've spent a lot of time troubleshooting, and a couple board meetings back you had mentioned that you had found a leaky valve and you thought maybe this quite possibly could be, you know, the cause to the change in the numbers. And so that's why I asked you about the valve. Was that the valve you replaced, or was it not the valve you replaced? And you answered that for me. Good. So we got to talk. We got to figure out how to balance out these numbers.
Okay.
You know, and I don't know if that means calling in Shannon Sweeney again to support you and or however, but I think we really do have to get a handle on it. And it's very proactive, too. It sends a good message that we're carrying outside the jurisdiction of our obligations. So thank you, John.
Okay. Jim, you have anything?
No.
So I will just say thanks for the report and keeping us abreast of the situation. And maybe it is that we have some discussion at a future meeting and talk about, you know, with respect to, I don't know if PG&E's done an audit or an assessment of the electrical system out there and if there are any improvements. I know there's been some discussion. And then perhaps we can look at it. I know at PG&E we do these things called root cause analysis, but, I mean, that's pretty intensive. So maybe we can just have some future discussion on that. And, you know, it's always good, as we talked about, to always assess and see how we can get better. I mean, obviously, we're doing a good job of running the plant very well. I think we can always look for ways to improve. So, okay. Do any members of the community want to address the item before the board, which is the district administrator and the plant superintendent's report? Okay, seeing that one come forward. And I did also want to say to Gearhart, nice work in addressing the concerns from the Coastal Commission. I know that there had been a lot of concerns about that in the past, and it looks like we've been able to work through a majority of those issues, and that's really, really good news as someone who's got experience dealing with folks on the commission and their staff. So anything else you wanted to?
Just thank you. It's always challenging, let me just say. But we think we're on the right track. We think we are talking the same language with Coastal Commission staff. They understand the importance of our project, and I'm going to just be cautiously optimistic. No guarantees, but cautiously optimistic that we'll be able to move our project forward in the near future.
That's a good phrase, with the Coastal staff and Commission, cautiously optimistic. Nice. All right, let's move on to our action items tonight. The first one is item 7A, which is a fiscal year 15-16 fourth quarter budget performance review.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Pardon me for going back to this last time. Can we get the attachments to the letter to the Coastal Commission? We have the cover portion of it here, but there's no attachments.
Sure. Just to prepare you, I took actually the ruler today and looked. It's about a stack about this high. We can work to, would you like it electronically or hard copy?
Either a stick or something would be fine, or a hard copy, whatever's easiest for you, but like a memory stick that usually sounds like it's probably too busy to transmit via email.
So yeah, likely,
let me ask the question. So I don't know how many megabytes it is, but you know, maybe we can put a link on the website, and then you're looking to get a copy on a thumb drive. So
sure.
Okay. Yeah. Because I mean, it is pretty voluminous.
It's voluminous. I have to see the scanning. Then we have the issue of our website. I'll certainly get the documents to you, the board, as soon as possible, and then we'll work to get more readily available.
And the documents are at the plant for anyone who wants to come and take
a
look as well?
We have the copies. We have the hard copy versions. And
okay.
Right.
That's can get something to keep
probably
those.
A lot of paper, so like a thumb drive or
okay.
that kind of media would be.
Okay. So I would say to all board members.
Yes.
Okay.
All board members.
And then we'll work to get a link on, get them on the website where it's accessible. Okay?
Perfect.
All right. So once you've got those notes down, Gerhard, I think you have the floor with respect to the fourth quarter budget performance review.
Good evening, Chair Schultz, directors, members of the audience, Gerhard Huebner. My pleasure to present this item. This is item number 7A of today's agenda packet. I'm just going to jump in. Short presentation. Stop me if you have any questions. It follows the staff report. But really what you're getting today is an overview of our called fourth quarter, but it's really the end of the year reconciliation, end of the year report on how we did for fiscal year 15-16. Provides an overview of our revenues, our expenditures, end of year balances as of June 30th. We have three tables within the body of the staff report regarding our performance regarding revenues, our performance regarding expenditures, and then taking a look at what the fund balance, what was predicted or projected, and what the actuals came out at. And then you have the cash and investment balances of June 30th, 2016. Those are essentially what you got reported at a previous board meeting, so that necessarily didn't change. Okay, so I'm just going to jump right into the first table. So if you look here, this is on the revenue side. As you know, we have three funds, Fund 19, 20, and 26. Without going through all the numbers, really kind of looking at the percentage, we did get more revenue on Fund 19. That would have come from wastewater fees. I'll just attribute it was likely with increased rates, with the recent rates. Not a whole lot. Under Fund 20, that's, of course, our connection fees, and that represents growth or connections that came in and fees that we collected. So obviously you do an estimate, but the development community and the business community are going to do what they're going to do. And so we did realize more revenue in that fund. So putting all that together, you can see we received slightly over 300,000 more than we projected, or 107%. That's good news. It's always good when you get more revenue than you anticipate. So on the expenditure side, again, all three funds, 19, 20, and 26. Again, those are the amounts. And I want to say these values were in the books, the bookkeeping, the accounting, were gone over carefully. There was quite a bit of effort in reconciliation. We had a CPA come in and validate and work with Amy to come up with the final number. So if you look at Fund 19, that's called our operating or admin type budget, and the total expenditures came in about 82%. Under Fund 20, you have 57%, and Fund 26 at 60%, and with a total of 73%, $3.5 million essentially expended, and $4.7 million roughly was budgeted. And I'll say some of those were for anticipated major projects that I've described before where we budgeted, but they had not been either approved or were ready to proceed to either a contract or execution. So let's just get then to the last table, the predicted versus the actuals. Again, all three funds are listed. That's some of those numbers are pretty good. You look at some of the projections, and some of the projections we did that at third quarter, trying to look and see where our expenditures were going to go. So came close within, $24,000, so slightly over 100% on that number on Fund 19. Fund 20, slightly less at 98%. Pretty darn good. And same with Fund 26, slightly over at 103%. So we projected $5,590,000 and came up with $547,209. So that's your fund balance as of July 1st. Just some of analysis you'll see here. Unless you have questions, I'll go really quickly through this. You know, state retirement, we're over in terms of what we thought we would have to contribute. So this was significantly less. We had some staff members retire. We had an unfunded liability that was also less. Again, we thought we were going to do something with the retirement, health retirement, which didn't come to play. Mm-hmm. You look at the advertising legal, again, didn't use as much money in terms of the advertisement or recruitment of the district manager or legal counsel. Professional services engineering. So when you look at these are generally explained in terms of the projects and where they're expended, either capital equipment or trunk sewer maintenance or even our grounds replacement program. So they're significantly less. But you then go to this account with a redundancy, and they significantly more. So this will get to kind of where the conclusion of, and I'll get to that last point, is lessons learned. But overall, good news. You had district expenditures that are well below adopted budget amounts. You have our revenues are slightly above the predicted, currently on track with the overall budgeted amounts. As I explained, there were some individual budgeted amounts were either under or over, but didn't change the overall budget total. And so I kind of jumped to this, the lesson learned. So the budget that you adopted, we saw some of these things at the third quarter, and we feel that we'll be able to be better assignment and alignment with some of the line items and major projects, which allow her to better track some of the expenditures. So some of the things you saw in terms of those large amounts, we're now going to have set for grit removal, headworks, and some of the other redundancy. We've actually created that, and we'll be able to track that and hopefully reduce those large amounts for those particular line items. So with that, I'd be happy to answer your questions.
Great. Thank you, Card. Very good staff report. Any questions? Mary, you have any questions?
Are we fun? Well, how many employees do we have at the plant now?
We have 10. If you count the part-timers, we have 2 part-timers.
So
we have 8 full-time.
Eight fulls?
Yes.
Okay. And 2 part-times?
Yes.
Wow. I don't think there's been that many people ever at that plant. And we're budgeted for 10?
We're budgeted for 8 full-time and 2 part-time.
And 2 part-time. Okay. Very good. Jim, you have any questions?
No.
Okay, very good. Does anyone from the community have any questions? That's Will Train. Any would like to address that before the board? Okay, seeing no one come forward. This is just a receive and file. And Garrett, thanks for clarifying, because that was going to be my question regarding, obviously, we came in under budget and wanted to make sure that there were not projects that were not done, but it looks like we had some that just hadn't moved along.
Yes. Yeah, there was money set aside for some of our major capital projects, and it's a little bit of a timing issue, of course, the way we operate. And unlike other jurisdictions, like the county used to work, where they would encumber amount and they could set it aside, we don't do that until the actual. So.
Okay, and then going forward, I know that the board had taken action with respect to how we track our reserves and, mm-hmm. and listing them as a line item. So we'll look forward to that and. Future budgets, correct?
Correct. So now we'll be able to enact the reserve policy now that we know and put aside that amount of money per that policy.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Okay, we're going to move on to item 7B. This is consideration of resolution number 2016-355, amending the district's conflict of interest code. Garrett, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair Scholl. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. You need to receive and file the previous report?
Yes. I believe we are good with that. We don't need a motion on that, right, Gil? To receive and file the report that was just given. Okay.
Okay.
We're good.
All right. Just make sure. Okay, very good. Chair Scholl, directors, members of the public, this is item number 7B, consideration of resolution number 2016-355, amending the district's conflict of interest code. So as a matter of background, on July 22nd, the district staff received an email from the clerk recorder's office from the county of San Luis Obispo. The message said, in summary, that the Political Reform Act requires every local government to review its conflict of interest code biannually. Each agency must submit to the county clerk recorder, a notice indicating whether or not an amendment is necessary. They did enclose the 2016 local agency biannual notice form, which stated that it must be returned to their office no later than October 3rd. 2016. In the staff report, you'll see listed the instructions, including fact sheets and additional information and where to find information and what to do if an amendment is necessary. So in order to comply with this regulation, staff conferred with legal counsel, working jointly on preparing the draft resolution before you today. And the staff report, using information from the Fair Political Practice Commission's website and the County of San Luis Obispo. The district, as a matter of information, last updated its conflict of interest code in 2014, so this two-year requirement does apply to us. The draft resolution before you does contain a number of recitals and cited regulations necessary to complete the conflict of interest code. Appendix A is included and is incorporated by reference. Appendix D, which is appendix of designated officers and employees with disclosure categories, was modified, and we did add the plant superintendent classification, as this position does have authority through the district's policy and procedures for expenditure of district's funds, supplies, and equipment. It was we felt important to include that classification. It also should be noted that that classification and similar classifications are included in other conflict of interest statements or codes in other agencies. So we do feel it's appropriate to include that today. You'll see that modification. No other modifications are proposed. So in conclusion, we are requesting the board approve an amended conflict of interest code and submit the necessary resolution and forms to the County of San Luis Obispo no later than October 3rd, 2016.
Very good. Let me see if there's any questions of staff. Any questions from board members? Okay, seeing none, is there anyone from the community that would like to comment on item before the board? Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me close it and bring it back. Is someone prepared to make a motion on this item? And that includes Appendix A and B. Very good. Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. There's a motion and there's a second. If there's no additional discussion, roll call, please.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Chairman Schultz?
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you very much. I think with that, we don't have any other items on our agenda. And with that, we are going to adjourn.